can take, and I guess that's really the wisdom and the insight that God has on me and you, because we need something. I know I do, something pretty simple to explain to my simplistic mind on what he's trying to say sometimes, what he's trying to get across. I need that so that I can hear it. And thank God, I'm glad it works that way, aren't you? Amen. Well, I want you to take your Bible tonight, please, if you would, with us. Look in the book of Galatians. We're going to look in Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. It is the, you know, the very last part of the book of Galatians. The church here that Paul is writing to is that they're having some problems as far as people coming in and trying to undermine their faith, trying to get them to go back or to get out of just a trusting in Christ and believing that that's all they need. Amen. And you know, again, boy, isn't that simplistic? Jesus plus nothing. And, you know, for a lot of people, that's hard to believe. They say, well, preacher, surely there's got to be something I got to do. No, there's nothing you need to do. You need to just trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that's the greatness of the gospel. The blessings of the gospel is that it doesn't take any more than that. So Paul has written this letter to him, and he's kind of, where I want to look is in the last few verses. He's coming to a summation, coming to the end of his writing here to him. And you'll start with me in verse number 11. And Paul says this. He says, "You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand." Now, that people, Bible scholars and theologians say that Paul generally will dictate his letters to let someone else pen them and take that part of the duties over. And they say probably in large part because of Paul and his eye problem. He had an issue, maybe an infection or a disease of somewhat. It may have been something, you know, similar to a glaucoma or something like cataracts, whatever it may have been. But his vision was impaired. And he says right here, he said, "I'm writing this part of this letter." He might not have written all of it, but he said, "This portion that I'm writing," he said, "you see how large a letter." He said, "I'm having to write this, but I want you to know this is coming from me. I want you to understand," he's saying, "that this is what I'm saying to you." He said, "You see how large a letter I've written to you with my own hand." He said, "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." And Paul says, "For neither they themselves are who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh." He said, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." He said, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would, tonight. Father, thank you again for the evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us and giving us this time again to look in the scriptures. And I pray just speak to our hearts and give us some insight and some wisdom and something that we just truly need from you. And God, I thank you again for how you've blessed us and how you've met our needs and how that you've added your touch to everything. And we just want to give you glory and honor and praise tonight for everything that you're doing. We love you and we lift you up and we praise you now. And I pray if there's somebody here that needs salvation, needs just a good old-timey salvation that God can give, would you speak to their hearts now? And again, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I want to preach to you on this little thought tonight on why I love to glory in the cross. You see what Paul says there in verse 14? He said, but God forbid that I should glory. He said, I'm not going to glory in your flesh. I'm not going to glory in numbers. I'm not going to glory in, boy, I've got this group of people following me. Because that's what he said about those that are trying to draw people away from simple faith in Christ. He said, they're just doing it so they can glory in your flesh. They won't put a number up on the board. They want people to say, oh, look what they're doing. Look how big, look, you know, all this. He said, they're just simply doing it from a fleshly standpoint. They're doing it to make them look good, to make them appear to be something or somebody. And Paul said, I'm not doing it. He said, I want you to know they don't care about you. You see what he said there in verse number 12? As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they want you to be circumcised. They're taking you Gentiles and they're telling you, you got to do this to live right and to be under the law of God. He said, that ain't done. He said, all they're doing, they're afraid they're going to have to suffer for the cross of Jesus. He said, and they don't want that. They want the easy way. They want something that won't cost them anything. He said, because neither they themselves who are circumcised, they don't keep the law. They're just a bunch of put-ons and fakes and all. He said, there's nothing to them. He said, but they desire to have you to be circumcised so that they can glory in your flesh. As I said, look who's following me. Look what I've done. What crowd I've got. All that stuff. Amen? But Paul says, let me just tell you this. God forbid that I glory. And really, he might as well have said glory in anything. He says, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the only thing I got to glory in is the cross. Amen. I want y'all to know, he said, why I love the cross. And I want to tell you tonight, man, why you and I should love the cross. Why we ought to come to the place of the cross and get excited about the things that happened there. Amen. I mean, boy, when you think about the cross, how many songs have been written? I mean, there's scads of them in our little redback book over here. We got songs about the cross, and you can hear songs throughout the ages, and it's a song about the cross. Thank God for the cross. Amen? On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Amen? I mean, there's songs about the cross. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. Amen? Oh, let me just tell you, song after song after song that sings about the cross of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's where our glory should be. Amen? Hey, near the cross. We sang that one in our songbook, one of the very last ones. Near the cross. There be my glory ever. Amen. Boy, that's where you and I ought to glory, is in the cross. Not, well, I'm a Baptist. Well, whoop-dee-doo, hallelujah for you. That's all I can say. I mean, don't glory in that. Don't glory in the fact that you belong to a Baptist church or that you have Baptistic family or whatever it is. Hey, I tell you, I believe that's right, and I believe we're right in what we believe doctrinally and the things that we preach on, but that's nothing necessarily to glory in for us. We ought to glory in the cross. So let's look at a few things tonight as I say on what Paul says about glorying in the cross. First of all, I want to say this, that I love to talk about, preach about, and be acquainted and associated with the cross, because at the cross I find a place of equality. A place of equality. What do you mean by that? I mean, as the old saying is, the ground is level at the cross. Do you know who Jesus accepts at the cross? Anybody that will come unto him on the gospel terms. Amen? Hey, the ground is level. In other words, everybody's welcome. The Bible says there very simply in John 3:16, whosoever believeth in him. Brother, I'm glad I'm one of them whosoever's, aren't you? I mean, it doesn't matter as far as how tall, how short, how fat, how skinny, how bald, how hairy. It don't matter. None of that. Thank God he'll take you just like you are. Amen. Oh, it's a place of equality. I'm telling you, hey, you can find that the wicked can come to the cross. You remember Jesus, there is his hanging in agony and he's dying on the cross, and there's two thieves, one on either side of him, and in the beginning they're railing and they're coming at him with words and harshness and saying, get us down from here if you're who you say you are. But in the end, oh, there's one of them is still doing that. But the thief over on his right hand looks at that and over on the other side and says, hey, we're in this thing and we're getting what we deserve. But this man, he said, this man hadn't done anything wrong. And he looks at him and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Oh, can I tell you, there's a lot of folks that makes them mad. They look at that and they say, now how can that fella get saved? Brother, he got saved just like me and you got saved. He got into heaven the same way me and you's getting into heaven. He got his name written down above the same way. He believed what Jesus was doing, and his death was sufficient for his sins. Amen. Hanging there on that cross, and Jesus looked at him, and he said, today, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, I told you before, there's a group of these modernistic and big-time theologians and smart alecks and Bible discouragers and people that really don't know if the scriptures are true. And they say, well, you know, that really, the way that it's grammatically structured, that's not a statement, it's a question. Jesus asked him, shalt thou be with me in paradise? Oh, he don't ask a question. I'm telling you, my Bible said, Jesus looked at me, today shall, you shall be with me in paradise is the meaning. And brother, hey, I said a lot of times, it's got a period at the end. But can I tell you, we ought to make it an exclamation point. Thank God that boy's there. He's as saved. He's as much in heaven. He's as much a child and a saint of God as anybody you've ever met. Amen. Why? Because the ground is level at the cross. The ground is so level that the wicked can come and get saved. Hey, that ground is so level that the rich can come and get saved. Do you know that story Jesus told about Lazarus and the rich man? Do you realize that that rich man could have been saved just like, went to heaven just like Lazarus if they'd only trusted in the scriptures? They only believed that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the coming Messiah, that Jesus could save, that Jesus could make it. It didn't matter that he was rich or poor or any of those things. None of that matter. Thank God he can save them all. Amen. He can save them all. Oh, there are rich people in the Bible that got saved. There are people that had plenty of wealth and goods and stuff. I mean, you look at people like Abraham, and Abraham had plenty. Abraham was a wealthy man as far as the eyes of the world went. He had all those cattle and all of the goods and had servants and people, were all that stuff. Thank God. But you know what was most important? The Bible said he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Amen. I'm just telling you, it don't matter. Amen. What the world standards are. Hey, you can be a rich man. Job, the Bible tells us that Job was probably one of the richest men in the world in his day, and that he owned all kinds of herds and oxen and camels and, you know, so on and so forth. He owned all that kind of stuff. He had properties. I mean, he had all kinds of maybe buildings and land and all of that. And brother, I want to tell you something. He got up every day and he went and he worshiped his God. He loved him. He sacrificed. He honored his God. Even though he was a man of substance, wealth, and you know, real notoriety in his land and day. What do you say? I'm saying the ground is level at the cross. Hey, there at the cross, hey, the rich can come. The wealthy, the those that have plenty in this world. The wicked can come, like the thief on the cross. The religious can come. Do you know that? Thank God the religious. Hey, okay, we've been studying over in the book of Acts about a little fellow by the name of Paul. And Paul, when he was known as Saul, was one of the most religious men there was. He was raised right, and he studied the scriptures. He was at the feet of one of the best rabbi teachers in all of Israel. But you know what? That religious man needed to get saved. You know what he said? He said, I count all things but loss, that I may win Christ and be found in him. He said, I was ready to chuck my religion. Amen. Hey, I think about preaching a message one time on the day Paul lost his religion. Amen. That's what he did. He lost his religion and he got saved by that amazing grace. He trusted in that Jesus that stood there over him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. And you know what? God saved him that very day. I'm just saying the ground here at the cross is level. Anybody that can come and will come, brother, the wretched can come. Aren't you glad of that? I mean, listen, whether you're lost, hopeless, and on your way to hell, a wretched, sorry sinner. You remember Jesus telling that story? He said that there was one of the Pharisees that stood on the corner, and he looked up to heaven, and he prayed thusly. He said, oh, God, I do this, and I do that, and I give, and I go, and I'm so-and-so-and-so. Although, he said, and I'm not like that man over there. And Jesus said there was another man that was a publican, a sinner. And the Bible said that he knelt his head. He would not even as much look up to heaven, but he smote himself on the breast and he said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I'll tell you, that man went back to his house and he was righteous, and the other man was not right with God. Amen. I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter who you are. When you come to him, the ground is level at the cross. Aren't you glad Jesus said, if you come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. He's not in the turning away business. Amen. As I mentioned another night in our studies on Acts, that Paul said this. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He said, of whom I am chief. Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus said, after Zacchaeus come down out of that tree and he talked to him, he said, I'm coming to your house today. He looked around. He said, for the Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. I'm just telling you, that's the only qualification there is for coming to the cross. When you come to the cross, the ground's level. Amen? Aren't you glad when you get to heaven, there'll be people there that are of all sorts? I mean, of all sorts. They're everything. You remember when John is recollecting or telling the story of what he's seeing there, he said, there's people out of every kindred. That means out of all kinds of people throughout the world, every nation. Every tongue, every nationality, every kind there are. Hey, you know what that's going to mean for folks in heaven? Some folk going to get a big surprise when they get there. There's going to be white people. There's going to be black people. There's going to be yellow people. There's going to be dark brown skin colored people. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of them. There's going to be red skins, white skins, and ever skin they are. Thank God, because brother, I'm telling you, this cross is a place of equality. Amen. Now, equality is one of them big gizmo words of the world today, isn't it? Oh, we believe in equality. I do too. Everybody's lost. Everybody needs to be saved. And Jesus can save anybody that'll come to him. Amen. How about that? I'm just telling you, friend, we need to understand. Hey, the cross, I love the cross because, first of all, it's a place of equality. But second of all, I love this cross also because it's a place of eliminations and erasures. There's some things there at the cross that, brother, they get eliminated. They get erased. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, I'm talking about this. When I came to the cross, my burdens got lifted. Woo! I was under a heavy load, under the load of sin. Thank God there was something. Hey, the songwriter said my old account was growing and it was getting worse every day. But when I came to the cross, Jesus lifted my burden and he cast it away from me. Amen. There was some elimination that went on. There was some erasure that went on. Amen. Woo! Let me tell you, thank God. You and I sing that song sometime over on 346, don't we? I know my name is there. In one of the verses, it says, my name once stood with sinners lost and bore a painful record. But by his blood, the Savior crossed, and he placed it on his roll. Hey, he erased me from the sinner bunch and put me in with the saved group. He eliminated some things in our lives. He took that burden. He took that heavy load. He took that weight of sin. He took the pressures that were on us, and he relieved us of the. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. He said, get rid of that load you got. I'll lift that burden. That pressure will be released. Thank God you'll be free. Amen. He said, if the Son make you free, you'll be free indeed. Amen? Oh, listen, you know what happens when you come and you trust Jesus? Your sins are gone. Amen? That's what made the songwriter say, you ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. My sins are gone. Amen? He said, they're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far as darkness is removed from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. My sins are gone. Amen? Woo! That ought to just, boy, that ought to make some of us Baptists shout. It ought to do something. It ought to get underneath. Hey, you ought to realize there are some erasers, some elimination. He took your sin debt away. Amen. There was nothing you could do with it. There's nothing you could do about it. I am not able to deal with it. But thank God the cross came into focus, and Jesus said, on that cross, I will eliminate your sin. Amen? Oh, let me just tell you, friend, when I think about the cross, another songwriter said, when I survey the wondrous cross. Amen. Boy, when I get a good look on Jesus on the cross and I see what he did for me, thank God it just lets me realize what all he has done for me. I mean, my sins are cleansed. My wrongs are righted. My crookedness is made straight. My unholiness is made holy. My immorality is made pure. Hey, I'm telling you, my rottenness is made decent in the blood of Jesus, y'all. Amen. I'm saved. And those things got eliminated at the cross. At the cross. Let me just tell you. When you look at the cross and you realize there were some eliminations there, a lot of folks say, well, where did they go? Well, I'll tell you, the scripture said God's put our sins behind his back. And I'll just dare any of y'all to know what's behind your back. You turn around, it's back there now. Over here, it's back there. You ain't never seen it. Amen? And that's the idea that God has taken your sin and he's put, the Bible says that it's as if he put them in the sea of his forgetfulness. God forgot them. You say, oh, preacher, surely he's forgotten them. You know why? Because he chooses to forget them. He puts them into the depths and the darkest seas, never to be remembered, never to be brought. The Bible said they're as far as the east is from the west. Never to be remembered or brought up against me and you ever again. How'd that happen? At the cross. At the cross, brother. I mean, Paul said, God forbid. You know, there's a lot of folks that, oh, well, preacher, if I, you know, in my religion, all I got to do is go down and talk to the priest and let him do me some prayer, tell me what I got to do, and maybe I got to pray. Do you know how long that works? Till about the next time you got to go see him. But can I tell you that mine are gone forever? He cleansed me from my sins. He's taken them away. He has erased them. He has eliminated it. Woo! How'd he do that? On the cross. On the cross. Thank God for the cross. I'm just telling you, it's a place. It's a place where there's some eliminations. It's a place where there's some equality. But I want you to see also, it's a place where you find everlasting life. At the cross, there is everlasting life. Salvation comes through no other way. Do you realize that? That the Bible tells us throughout. God told them, the children of Israel, He told them that they were not to, and you'll see this strung out through the entirety of the Bible, they weren't to drink or to use the blood of an animal as far as a food way, to ingest it, take it. They weren't supposed to do that. And, you know, Moses might have said, well, why, God? He said, because the life is in the blood. Can I tell you, the eternal life is in the eternal blood of an eternal Jesus. Thank God we got eternal life through that precious blood. I'm telling you, in that cross, when Jesus went to the cross and shed His blood, it brought us to the place where we could have everlasting eternal life. I mean, salvation. There's just no other way to do it. You remember what Peter told that court of the Sanhedrin when him and John got called in? They'd seen the man out there at the gate of the temple, and they raised him up. He got his feet and legs all healed, and he run through that, and he's a shouting and thanking God for what He'd done for him. And, well, we just can't have that indignities around here. Amen. So they called Peter and John in. They said, now look, how'd y'all do this? And Peter said, well, let me just tell you, through the name of Jesus, this man stands here before you whole. Well, you know what that did? That made them mad. They got their lip pooched out real big. We don't like that. Well, hallelujah. The world don't like it either. The devil don't like it. Lost people don't like it. I didn't like it when I was lost. Surely there's something I can do. Ain't nothing you can do, honey. Ain't a thing you can do. And Peter's looking at them, and they say, we don't want y'all preaching like that no more, Peter and John. And old Peter said, let me tell y'all something. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved except at the name of Jesus. And that means what was done on the cross has brought everlasting life. Amen. That's the only way you're going to get it, friend. That's the only way that it will ever come is when you realize that it is on and through the cross of Calvary. Amen. It's on the cross. I mean, it's on that cross where the blood was shed. The blood was shed on that cross. I'm telling you, death was conquered on that cross. I'm glad what Paul said over there in the book of Colossians. He said that Jesus took the sin and the horrible things that were against us, and He nailed it to His cross when He paid for it. He nailed it up there and said, devil, it's all paid for. Amen. The sins of all mankind. You know, a lot of folks look at the Bible, and we talk about this a lot in those seven sayings on the cross. One of the sayings is this, where Jesus says, it is finished. And in the Greek, that's just one big long word that says tetelestai, which simply means it's finished. And that word tetelestai has at least seven different ways you can look at it. But one of them is this. It's like when you go down at the bank. And can I tell you, this is a happy day. You go down at the bank and you're making your mortgage payment. And they look at you and they say, dear friend, this is your last payment. And when you make that last payment, they look at you and they say, it's paid in full. Woo, it's over with. You mean I don't have to come back no more? Nope, it's over. Can I tell you, the children of Israel had been seeing sacrifice after sacrifice, year after year, high priest after high priest, blood offering after blood offering, animal sacrifice after animal sacrifice. But the day that Jesus stepped on that cross and He shed His blood, He took His own precious blood, laid it in the throne room of heaven and said, tetelestai, it's paid for in full. Hallelujah. Boy, aren't y'all glad of that? Amen. Boy, and God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Woo! Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, that's what the cross did. In that cross, there is everlasting life. And you know, Hebrews says that he entered in once, chapter number 9 of Hebrews, said he entered in once into the holy place. Now, in the things down here, the high priest went in one time a year into what they call the holy place. Jesus went into the holy place. I'm talking about the throne room area of heaven, where he sat down his perfect blood sacrifice and the Father received it. And can I tell you, the Bible says there in Hebrews chapter number 9 that he obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen? Eternal redemption. You know what that means? Ain't got to do it again. Do you realize, and I know we all probably know this, but in the Bible, in the story when God is telling Moses, build the tabernacle. Here you go. Here's a lampstand to wash it. Here's a table for the showbread. Here's the altar. Here's, you know, he gives him all these golden things and all this stuff. You know what's missing? Ain't a chair in the place. Ain't a chair. There's not a chair in all of the holy place. You know why? Because the work was never done. There was always a sinner. There was always a sacrifice. There was always somebody. It was always something that needed taken care of. But can I tell you, on the day that Jesus paid our sin debt, the Bible said that he sat down at the right hand of God in heaven. And he said, it's done, amen. Woo, ain't that good? Hallelujah, y'all. Thank God. I'm telling you, I love the cross because of what he's done for us. Life was assured through his death. Amen? I mean, Jesus said over in the book of John in chapter number 12, he said, except a corn of wheat, he said, fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. He said, but if it dies, then it beareth much fruit. Can I tell you, when Jesus died, shed his blood, he has borne much fruit because of his blood that was shed on that old rugged cross. Amen. So I love cross because it's a place where my sins are eliminated. Oh, it's a place here where there's everlasting life. And I'll say this last, it's a place where me and you had an experience with him. I mean, that cross. You say, preacher, I don't remember going to no cross. Yeah, you did. You got saved. You went to the cross. Oh, not by the eye of sight, but by the eye of faith. You wound up at the foot of the cross. You wound up, if you go back, I just think it's amazing. When you go back and look in, I think it's in the Gospel of Luke, when they're taking Jesus out to the crucifixion, when they're going, it says, when they came to the place. Woo! When I came to the place, I was rotten. When I came to the place, I stunk. When I came to the place, I was lost. But when I left that place, woo! Something was different then. When I had my experience, when you had your experience with Christ Jesus and the cross, oh, no wonder Paul said, God forbid. Paul didn't say, well, y'all glory because I'm an apostle. Well, y'all glory because of all the knowledge God has given. Y'all glory because I've started a bunch of churches. No. He said, I'm just going to glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to glory in the cross. When we have our experience there, it is a personal experience. You know, it's a personal experience. For every one of us, when we come, it's personal. You can't bring nobody with you, friend. Now, somebody may come at the same time, but you can't deal for them. They can't deal for you. You've got to deal with God and your sin and your salvation for yourself. It's a very personal experience. But can I tell you, when you get there, you find out it's a powerful experience. The power of a living God and a cleansing blood and a being part of that family. Woo, it's a powerful experience. I mean, you will never be the same when you leave. I tell people all the time, when I got saved, I weighed 130 pounds. Well, that's changed a little bit. But, yeah. But that night when I got up, I still weighed 130 pounds. I had hazel-colored eyes. When I got up from prayer, I still had hazel-colored eyes. I did have color in my hair. Somebody say amen right there. And I got up and I still had color in my hair. Amen? I didn't look any different. But can I tell you, there was something down in here that was powerfully, absolutely, and eternally changed. And it was by a visit in a spiritual manner to the old rugged cross. It was a personal experience. It was a powerful experience. But let me tell you this, in closing, it was a peaceful experience. There was a peace that came into my heart and my life that, well, like the songwriter said, as we tarry there, the things that we share, hey, none other has ever known. Amen. You don't know what it's like for me. I don't know what it's like for you. I do know what it's like for me. And I wish I could tell you, and I wish you could tell me, and I wish we could all just share that with somebody. And we can as far as we can. But you know who really makes the difference? When the Holy Ghost gets in that and begins to take your words and really impress and lay it down on somebody else's heart. Hey, they get a little bit of taste of what happened. And can I tell you, it's just a little taste. You can't tell it. Amen? I mean, it's like Queen of Sheba. The half hadn't been told. Amen? Or I can't tell it all. But one of these days, when we get there, I'm going to try. Amen? I'm going to try to tell him what, thank God, woo, for what he's done for me. Amen? Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Jesus Christ my Lord. Have you got anything to brag on tonight? Well, I know some of us think, oh, well, preacher, I can brag on my money. Well, you probably can. Most of us can't. You can brag on your status, your position, or your title, or your degrees. You can, you know, people brag on those things. But can I tell you, most of us can't. But can I tell you, I can brag on this. I got a Savior that saved me at the cross. Amen. You know, I love to think about this, and this message that a long time ago I preached this about the greatest thing that God ever did. Amen. The greatest thing. A lot of people say when God came down in creation, that was the greatest thing that God ever did. When God came down at the Annunciation and told Mary that she was going to have a baby, well, that's the greatest thing that there ever was. When Jesus died on the cross and at the crucifixion, that was the greatest thing. But can I tell you, the greatest thing that he ever did for me was when he saved my soul. When he cleansed and made me whole, it's a miracle of love beyond degree. Thank God. Aren't you glad he loves you tonight? Aren't you glad you know about the cross? At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my soul rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing some song tonight. Oh, listen. Maybe if you hadn't had that cross experience, it's be a good time, be a good place, be a good day to have that experience of knowing Jesus and the greatness of the cross, the wonders of the cross, the sin forgiveness of the cross. Oh, the eternal life of the cross, the equality. I mean, anybody that's here now, you can come and come freely. Jesus said that, just come. I mean, you look at all the people Jesus dealt with. He dealt with maniacs. He dealt with sicknesses. He dealt with people in adultery and sin. He dealt with all kinds of people. You know what? When they left, they were never the same. Amen? That's what the cross will do for you. It'll change your life. Let's stand, if you will. What are we going to say?
Page
410. Page 410. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Amen. You need to come pray about some of these things? Would you come tonight? While we sing, listen. Jesus, keep me near.